Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, art breaker, art faker, or art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art. I'm the one they call Clinton, and I'm here with the woman so down with the interview that you got to get a clue, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you this morning?
You know, I'm a little pooped.
A little pooped? What you doing being a little pooped?
I'm a busy woman.
This is what I hear. Making the world a better place, fighting evil, righting wrongs, doing things that need to be done.
Fighting evil? What do you think? I'm sorry, I didn't bring my cape this morning. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's all right. That's all right. That's all right. It's a fine thing to do anyway. You know what I'd like to start with the show with?
A parental advisory?
No, actually, I'd like to start the show with an apology.
To who?
No, from whom?
Oh. You think I need to apologize?
Yes, I do. Because last week, in our wonderful conversation with the wonderful Miriam Gordon Stewart, you were chatting deliciously about the joys, as I remember, the joys and benefits of younger lovers over older lovers.
Well, yes, indeed.
And she very politely suggested that you might not want to. You might want to also put in a good word for older lovers as well, and you agreed with that, and it was a wonderful time. It was, sort of beginning of the show banter, a little back and forth, and you then said, "Oh, Clinton is very uncomfortable in this conversation." Now, that's the thing. That's the moment.
What?
That. In the time that you have known me,
yes.
When have you ever known me to partake, and not partake, but to be inflicted? I will even say that.
Oh, wow.
Inflicted.
Uh-huh.
With the hideous and horrible anti-sex prudery and sexual repressiveness that bedevils.
An awful
and
lot of words in there.
Poisons this culture.
You know what, Clinton? You are absolutely right. I sincerely apologize. You are right. I went for the cheap joke there, and I shouldn't have. You have always been a great supporter of sex and talking about sex, especially with me, and I have appreciated that during our. God, what, 13 years of friendship now?
Has it been that long?
It has. It's been a while. It's been a minute. And I know. We've known each other a minute. And you are absolutely right. I sincerely and wholeheartedly apologize, and I beg your pardon.
There you go. See, because you can call me rude. You can call me a dude. You can say that I'm greedy and I'm out to get a fneed or a snood. Whatever you do, just don't call me a prude. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. And another thing you don't want to do is you don't want to go through this show without a parental advisory. Coming at you at some time in this show, at some time on this wonderful, wonderful cavalcade through the radio waves, we may say the word bacchanal. Bacchanal. We'll try not to, of course. We will desperately, desperately try not to. But it might come out. So if you are a parental, either owning or with the rental, we are here to tell you. You got to watch out. You got to watch out for those young kiddies. All right. How are we doing here, Leslie? A show about local art. Coming as a representative from McGuffey Art Center, or McGuffey Art Center, McGuffey Art Gallery, McGuffey Art Artist Collective.
Oh my God, McGuffey. People know it. Just say McGuffey.
No, it's about being specific. It's about me.
Well, originally it was the Art Association, and
really?
Now it's the Art Center. Yeah.
Ah, right the first time. The McGuffey Art Center. Why not the McGuffey Art Association?
I think the acronym MA just didn't ring with people.
MA. Where do you have studios at? MA.
Do you have time to talk some more? I've got to go back to Ma. I could see that.
Yes.
I could see that. Whereas this way, at the McGuffey Art Center, you can all be Mac Daddies.
Yes, yes.
How about that?
We are the Mac Daddies.
You've always wanted to be a Mac Daddy, haven't you?
It seems to be exhausting. I have neither the time nor the energy to be a Mac Daddy.
Aww.
Sam Gray, welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art.
Excellent. Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. So, tell us about yourself. You are an artist?
I am. I studied graphic design, and now I'm doing painting and drawing and graphic design and illustration with the help of the McGuffey Center.
And you studied graphic design way south of here, right?
I did. University of Georgia. Athens, Georgia.
Wow. Athens, Georgia. Okay. So, for an artist living in Athens, Georgia, What is that like? Because I know, I have friends and family who live not specifically in Athens, but in Georgia, and it's an interesting place. I mean, it's kind of like it's either Hotlanta or nothing.
Yeah, Athens is a little blue speck in a red county, and being an art student there was fun. A lot of it I don't remember because it was a big party school, but it was a great experience. Yeah, a lot of great music scene, great art scene.
Really? Is Athens known for its music?
I think maybe a little bit. Some famous people came out of there.
Yeah, a couple.
Mel Torme? And like,
no.
Big Spiderbeck?
What? Did you not take your pill today? What are you talking
about?
Are you all right?
Always about chemistry with me.
Well,
all of your comments maybe suggest that I'm doping up all the time.
Or maybe you should take it as a hint that you should.
No. Okay. Leslie is brought to you by Big Pharma. Big Pharma regulating your moods up, down, and all around. Happiness and satisfaction is just a pill away. Big Pharma.
Better living through chemistry. Thank you.
So how does a Georgia student find her way all the way up here? At the very edge of the North and South.
Oh, right. Well, I grew up in Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. And after I got burnt out on a graphic design internship in Georgia, I traveled for a year and a half. In New Zealand and Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Japan, and across the U.S.
Gracious.
And then after that, I didn't have much money, so I moved back in with my parents in Stanton. And that's how you get back to Virginia.
The life of an artist.
Yeah.
Yes!
The life of an artist, the life of an American under her 30s.
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, so it makes sense to hear that you got a background in graphic design because I went to your website and looked at some of your work there, which is really fun work, by the way.
Thank
if
you.
Anyone wants to go to the website, it's Samantha.rocks?
Sam.rocks. Samgray.rocks.
Samgray.rocks.
With an A.
Samgray.rocks. It's just sitting right there.
And it's really interesting stuff because there are pencil sketches there pencil sketches that look like they could be a photograph, like they could be a black and white photograph. And then some watercolors is what they looked like, and just beautifully done. And then there are some different drawings that almost look kind of cartoonish in style. Not that the subject matter is cartoonish, but they look like anime.
I see them and I'm like, oh, I would not be surprised to see those in a graphic novel. And yet, it's clear that they're not from that. It's clear that they are artistic pieces.
Right.
It's clear that the pencil sketches are you working things out and you working on things. Is the latter one, is that a style that's more your particular style? Or do you feel that you've zeroed in on a style yet? Talk to me where you are.
And I was just talking to an illustrator today at McGuffey about styles, and there's the big debate among the illustration crowd of like, do you need to have one style that people know you for, or is it better to just flow with the different styles? And I think it depends on my medium what style I'm using, though friends of mine say they can always tell. They're like, oh yeah, that's your, like, the way you use lines and stuff is the same and everything. So I don't know. I don't feel like I have a single style.
Interesting. Because I know that sometimes musicians will talk about finding their voice, like working around and doing things until, especially singers, especially lead singers.
Yeah.
Even so far, I remember watching a documentary about U2, and Bono was talking about the early days of U2 and how it was shaky until he found, like, the way that he would attack stuff that made it distinct from other people.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that was if there was the same concept in the visual arts, if you had to find your voice, your way.
I think it definitely helps to have a foundation that you're moving from. But then there are people like Marian Banshees, who's really amazing, and every project of hers is really different and just really creative. So I think it's all good. We are all different stars in the art world.
Cool. So if you had to say, where are you moving from and where are you moving to, do you think?
In terms of art?
Yeah.
Well...
Or in terms of the ukulele, because you play that as well.
I do. Wow, you really looked it on my website.
See, it's like we have our own James Lipton.
It was a bio page.
Yeah.
It was right there.
We have our own James Lipton of Charlottesville right here. He's going to bring out the cards any minute. This is your life.
Any moment.
Okay. Well, honestly, I'm moving out of an artist's block, so I'm just like moving into being creative. I totally got burned out in graphic design and just like making things to please other people, and I can still do that, and it's great work, but I'm just really getting into expressing myself, and I'm finding that doing a lot of figures and plants and the things that I find beautiful in the world, and just healing through that process of becoming creative again.
Yeah, I loved the pictures you had on the website, the woman's face framed with flowers. There were several of them, and it was almost like in some of them it was almost like the flower was an extension of her, like it would be an extension of her hair or it would be framing her face. They were really striking, and it was interesting to me the types of flowers you chose as well to go with the different person.
Yeah.
That was really cool. So was that just, hey, I like this flower, or was it, I'm doing this face, and how did that come about? Like, how do you make those decisions?
I think I'm also into the farmy nature-earth connection movement, so, well, some of my...
'Cause you're out on a farm, right?
I was living on a farm, now I'm 10 minutes away from it, but I'm out in Afton in the countryside, and I still garden, and I still hike and love to get out. Some of my flowers are fantasy flowers that I'm just making up from recollections of what I've seen. And it's the funniest thing because my friends who are plant experts are like, what is this supposed to be? And it's like, I feel like a 5-year-old. Like, it's supposed to be a flower.
It's my flower. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Wait,
which flower is that? It's my special flower.
But I'm really into the symbolism of plants and other sort of symbology in art. It's one thing that I look forward to learning more about.
Okay, 14 minutes past the hour. If you're just joining us, we are sitting here talking with Samantha Gray from the McGuffey Incubator Studios, or at least McGuffey Art Center, and she's going to be talking about the McGuffey Incubator Studios. Make sure you stay tuned afterwards, after our show. It's going to be the Sunday morning wake-up call with Rick Moore and his guest today, Dr. Pam Moran from the Alamo County Public Schools. And you're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art, homegrown, proud to say brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner, providing not only food for your food needs, but also entertainment of the local and non-local kind. Wow. You don't see a lot of that, do you? People examining the symbology of plants and the symbolism of plants in art, do you?
Maybe not more recently, but like, for example, I went to the Alphonse Mucha exhibit up in Winchester at the Museum of the Shenandoah Valley, and a lot of his work, which was Art Nouveau, turn of the century, included symbols of like the thistle is a symbol for the suffering of mankind on this earthly plane, and all these things that bring deeper meaning to me that I want to, you know, employ in my own art.
Wow. So what is the inspiration that nature is for you?
Nature, oh gosh, I just
Did I tap into a big well there?
I maybe. I feel like my spirituality opened up more once I got back into being with nature. And one of the things about that is just, I'm going to drop the G word. I see God as like the greatest artist. Oh, no.
G word dropped.
G word dropped. But it can be, you know, there's so many different interpretations of God. I have like the hippie spirituality, you know. But I just, it's something that brings me into my, I don't know, my life force more to be around plants. So.
Okay, so I just have one question. We need to clear this up. For you, is God a woman or a man?
Really? That would be your question, wouldn't
it? Yeah, that's my question.
I'm just gonna go.
What's wrong with that question?
I'm just gonna go over to the corner here.
What's wrong with that question?
Drink myself a big cup of I knew it.
Oh no.
Okay. All right.
I don't think God has a gender.
Ooh. Oh, see, yeah. And that's an interesting answer. I like that answer.
Sorry, I'm on my second cup of I knew it back there.
Oh my God. Wow.
Full up on I knew it.
So currently, so tell us about McGuffey, the Incubator Studio, and you.
So the Incubator Studio is a program that has been going on at McGuffey for 3 years, and it's an opportunity for emerging artists in the area to have a reduced rent on their space because there's 6 of us sharing a studio. We have reduced rent, we can exhibit near the downtown, and we experience what it's like to be a resident artist at McGuffey because we're all on committees learning how they function as a community of artists. Like, I'm on the, what you call it? I was like, the production committee. What is that thing graphic designers do?
Right. Yeah, that.
That thing. So, it's a great opportunity. And I learned about it during figure sessions with Robert Bricker in the basement of McGuffey.
Cool. So, and for people who don't know, McGuffey is a collection. It is a community of artists in the old McGuffey School downtown. Having studios there, and it's studios that they can have, or at least the whole place is there, through some agreement with the city.
Yeah.
Right? And part of the agreement is that all the studios are open.
Yes, yes.
Right? People can come in and actually watch artists working. Have you experienced that? Is that your studio is under those rules as well?
Yeah, yeah. We have reduced requirements as incubator artists, so we only have to be there 10 hours for public gallery opening times, but I'm definitely there more, and it's really great to have people come in and ask about things, and I love the kids coming in because they're taking classes and getting into art themselves.
That's interesting. So you don't find, Leslie and I both, I mean, we're writers, but also we do a lot of theater, and I certainly do much more theater than writing these days. In theater, when you're working, can be a very closed thing. Like the rehearsal space can be a very sacred space, and there are a lot of actors who feel very insecure about having anybody who isn't involved in the show. Like even sometimes they'll freak out even if you have like designers, people who are part of the show production process there, because like in the rehearsal space, that's when they really feel vulnerable. That's when they're really rough and they're working on stuff and they're trying to get stuff so they present. It's interesting for me to hear that it can be fun to have people walking in while you're working.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in the past I've had the issue of not wanting to do art with other people present because people will narrate or tell you what to do or like ask why you're doing something. And it's interesting to push that boundary and just get comfortable being in the space because we're with each other often in the studio anyway when we're working.
You can't just say, back off, man, I'm an artist. See, if you'd seen the first Ghostbusters, you would have gotten that.
Yes. Oh, man, I'm missing out. It's like, this is part of my process, guys. Like, don't question it.
Aw, it's part of her process. That's sweet. I like it.
So, can you talk about the value for you as an emerging artist? The value that something like the Incubator Studios provides.
Oh my goodness, it's incalculable. Just having the McGuffey Media emails and getting tapped into the art scene around Charlottesville. There's so many galleries and things that I didn't know about that I can access now. And we have mentors within the artist community there that are helping us, checking in on us, like giving us a little push or a nudge and saying, you know, it's...
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very supportive community. And at the same time, it's whatever you make of it. So I'm just really excited for this opportunity in this year.
So when you say mentors, are they other McGuffey artists or are they... more established artists in the community? Like, what would qualify as a mentor?
Well, the entire community there, there are resident artists and associated artists that are coming in and out within the building, but we have assigned resident artists, one for, there's two of them, one for three of us and the other for the other, and they're actually checking in on us, taking us to galleries, talking to us, seeing what we need.
And so are they there to mentor you artistically in terms of your craft, artistically in terms of the professional side of art, artistically in terms of, you're working with other people? Like, mm-hmm. how wide-ranging is the mentorship?
I think it's, for the moment, it's more professional and also bolstering our spirits when you get in that mindset of, I'm an imposter, I'm just, a new artist, I don't know what I'm doing. And they're like, take a walk, like, go have a drink, go be downtown, like, do something, get away from your work, get back to it. There are critiques there at the studio as well, but for the moment, it's more about how to get into the community and the scene here.
Wow.
Okay, we need those.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't know about you, Leslie, but I'm jealous just
right?
hearing that.
I know, I could definitely use that mentor, as I'm sitting there writing the next chapter going, this sucks. I don't know why in the world. Why didn't I waste an hour doing this? Nobody's going to want to read this crap.
I mean, in theater, you're lucky if somebody doesn't spit on you, stab you in the back before they say, all right, thanks a lot. Have good luck.
See you never.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
It's a rough world out there, the art world. And I've also gotten into this book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
I know that book. That's a fabulous book.
So
that book
good.
Changed my life.
Every artist, every person could benefit a lot from going through that book and processing it.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think it is not untrue to say why that construction.
It is
true to say that I would not be an artist without that book. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah.
Amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Straight up.
Really? When did you read the book?
Years ago. Years ago.
Like years ago, like beginning of college. Years ago, like beginning of high school.
No. Much later. Years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago, something like that.
10 years ago. Okay. And so, Sam, when did you read it?
I'm reading it right
now.
Right now.
She's reading it much younger than when I read it.
Oh, really?
And so you're going to benefit from much more about it. Yeah, great.
I'm sure, I feel like it's something you could keep visiting again and again, and through each stage of life, you'll get something new out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Cameron, everyone.
So, where can people see your work, or when can, I guess they can just go to McGuffey, right?
They can pop in. There's usually one of us in the studio. Our hours, I hope I don't mess this up. It's 10 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. And check the Google. I don't know. Check the Google.
check the Google. I don't know. Google that stuff.
Yeah, right. Why do I need to remember information?
What is this, the 19th century?
I know. We're just supposed to know things? I know. What is that?
Sam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been so fun.
You're awesome.
Oh, you're awesome.
You guys, you need to come back.
Please, that would be great.
All right. 26 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, a show about local art, brought to you by Charlottesville's Blue Moon Diner.
And now let's talk about some of the wonderful things going on this week. Currently running from now until August 14th, it's West Side Story. If you want to be in America, okay, by you in America, over at Shannon Arts in the Valley. Check it out. Hear them scream, dance, and shout. Currently running until August 28th, the American Shakespeare Center is speaking about over there in Stanton, American Shakespeare Center summer season. Still going, August 28th. You got your chance to see Twelfth Night in King Lear by Shakespeare and the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson from August 12th to on August 12th, the Virginia Film Festival's Moonlight Movies hits us again, this time with Spielberg's classic Hook. At Carter Mountain Orchard, free and open to the public. The space opens at 7 p.m. for picnics and such. The movie starts around 8:30, and when the sun is down, bring blankets and chairs. Today, Once on This Island at Four County Players. Go ahead and check it out. This is your last opportunity. I don't know if it's sold out. It might just be. But check it out. See if it is. Also today, Forged in Fire, Writing in Response to Cancer, a seminar for patients, survivors, and caregivers by Cora Sherberg and Carolyn O'Neill at the Charlottesville Writer House. August 10th, Charlottesville Ballet's open audition for The Nutcracker. That's right. So if you, or specifically if your little kids, want to be in the extended party scene for Charlottesville Ballet's upcoming The Nutcracker, August 10th, open auditions. August 11th, Light It Up at the Anteroom, an evening of open mic an open mic for hip-hop inspired poetry. It's a rough morning here at Homegrown, but we are fighting through it. August 12th, Charlottesville Ballet Summer Intensive Showcase at the Charlottesville Ballet Studio Theater. August 14th to August 20th, Der Rosenkavalier, or someone younger, at Victory Hall Opera Company at the V. Earl Dickerson Building at PVCC. If you don't know what that is, go to SeaVillePodcast.com. Look for our past episode where we interviewed the wonderful people from the Victory Hall Opera Company and find out all about it. August 15th to 16th, Guerrilla Theater's Summer Shorts. August 18th to 24th, There's a Burglar in My Bed at Oak Grove Theater in Verona, Virginia. Theater under the stars in the summer. And August 19th, the Charlottesville Reading Series at the Garage on 1st Street between Market and Jefferson. And here's just some of the wonderful musical opportunities that you have available to you. Today, J.J. Von Briesen at the Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Also today, Greg Howard and Gina Sobel at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. August 10th, Quiet Fire at the Bebedero. And August 10th, Bachata Fusion at the Seville Salsa Club. With the Seville Salsa Club at the Anteroom. August 11th, the Pollocks at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. August 12th, it's Three Wishes at Glasshouse Brewery. Red and the Romantics, Ghost Eagle, Luke Smith at the Anteroom. Mother's Shillelagh at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. On August 13th, it's Jason Burke and Frank Bechter at Wild Wolf Brewery. Also on August 13th, Ragged Mountain String Band at Heritage on Main. LG and Friends at the Whiskey Jar. Stepping back to August 12th, Michael Coleman Band with Moon at Fridays After 5 at the Sprint Pavilion. And make sure that you don't miss August 19th, Ellis Paul and Dan Navarro at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. And of course, every Sunday, it's Travis Elliott at Raptured. Every Monday, the Singer-Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, it's the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. On Wednesdays, you got your open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bob Bonetta at Cafe Katura. The Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And Jim Wave at the Blue Moon Diner. And every Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. Every Thursday, head on to Miller's for the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some of the wonderful artistic events we have at our wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist and have an event and would like to talk to us about it and have us talk to people about it, then contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or email us at our handy dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com.
Wow, Clinton, that's a lot of stuff.
That was a lot of stuff. Stuff keeps going on.
I know, right?
Art keeps moving.
So,
I think we have our next guest here on the phone.
Talk to me about our next guest on the phone.
Our next guest, the wonderful, the exciting, the grand poobah of art over the mountain, Miss Carmel Klavan. Carmel, hey!
Hi! Sorry I couldn't be physically in your presence this morning.
Well, we forgive you.
Oh, thanks.
We know what it's like being an artist and having to also, you know, run your life.
Be a human, yeah. Sometimes they don't go hand in hand.
I know.
But thanks for having me on, guys.
So you are here to talk to us about spectacle and mirth. What's that?
I am. I'm more specifically about a project of spectacle and mirth. So Spectacle and Mirth is my art business. It's a production house focusing on vaudeville and variety shows and production of theatrical extravaganzas. And sometimes that means busting in downtown or, being a street musician. And sometimes it means big cabaret shows all over. But right now, the project that I've got my teeth sunk in is called The Kettle.
The Kettle.
It's a collaborative performance venue in Stanton, Virginia. So I looked around when we did the Fringe Festival back in April, which was tons of fun, and I talked to you guys about that.
Yes.
I realized that this town and this area is a serious lack for a venue. A lot of the theater companies that are established have built their own homes, and they use them all the time.
Right.
So other people who are trying to crack in, or who just want to do maybe one show a year, or just need a place to rehearse, don't have a resource. So The Kettle will be a place for people to use the space and use it collaboratively or use it by themselves. They can teach classes or do a show or roll around on the floor with their legs in the air, like whatever they want to do, like no judgment. But you can be a collaborator with a capital C at The Kettle. And we're also, at the moment, to help launch it, running an Indiegogo campaign to get its feet under it. It only has 3 days left, but I should tell you in an urgent voice, run, don't walk, to the website, which is www.the-kettle.co. But I'm really excited. It's going to be a really cool place.
So what is the charge? Is there a charge for anyone using the space, or
There is, and it's structured on a monthly use basis. So much like artist co-ops use a subscription or a membership dues to pay rent on a gallery space, this will be a very similar structure. However, all of the admin stuff will be handled by Spectacle and Mirth. So any kind of ticketing that you do is handled by us. Any kind of marketing help that you need, we'll help you with. We'll maintain the facility, and that's a large room. Actually, if you came to the Fringe Festival and you went to any of the shows in the large stage, that's the room we're going to be in. So it's 56 feet long by 22 feet wide and with 16-foot ceilings.
Oh,
big,
wow.
Awesome place. Yeah, oh, it's big. And it's going to be really, really modular. So the stage platforms can move, chairs can move, lights can move, the sound system is all mobile. So whatever you want to do, however you want to configure it or use it when you're using it, is up to you.
So let me get this straight.
You can find about the fee structure because you can use it for as little as $30 a month for 2 hours a week. And then all the way up to $500 a month for like institutions or organizations, larger organizations that want to use it more heavily. So, and you can find all of that on the website. And of course, you know, call me. I want to talk to you. I want collaborators.
So let me get this straight, Carmel. This is going to be, this could be a rehearsal space, or it could be a performance space. It's up to the people that are that need it, right? The artists that need it.
Yes, and it also allows for them to sometimes use it as rehearsal and sometimes use it as a gallery and sometimes use it as a teaching classroom. And it also, so you can, like, for right, for example, I've got a person right now who wants to teach belly dancing, and I've got a person who wants to teach music garden classes for little babies. And I've got people who want to use it for devised theater, and I've got people who want to use it to do aerial stuff. So all of those people have the choice of just using it privately or teaching classes publicly, or that being where they teach, that being their business. Some people just want a place that's not their living room to do yoga, which is totally fair. I don't do yoga at all, so, I mean, nothing to them. I'm not judging. But it also is great for those people in town, musicians, performers, makers, who are looking for a place to be outside of their home.
Oh, no. You didn't just drop the maker buzzword, did you? You didn't just drop the maker buzzword.
I did it. Because it totally counts. It's a huge space. If you want to build robots there, I'm cool with that. As long as you clean up after yourself for the next person who wants to come in.
I think that's an important as long as.
Yeah. But it is. It is available for public as well as private use. And my hope for the first year, my plan, is to have one show and one public workshop every month. That will go up, obviously, as more and more people use it. But when we launch in September, our first show will be a Spectacle in Mars Cabaret at the end of September. And I think it's going to be really awesome because the people so far that I've spoken to, everyone's really excited. But I think the biggest thing that people are glomming onto is the idea of collaborating and cross-pollinating with one another. It's just like it'll kind of raise all boats instead of just letting you be in your tiny corner.
So you see the opportunity for there to be artistic bleed between the various people who are going to be sharing the space.
Absolutely. Yes. 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 Yes.
That's really exciting.
I think so. And we're also running a Patreon campaign, which is actually ongoing. So if you become a person on Patreon, that's Patreon, you can contribute as little as $5 a month for that. And we'll have a monthly live stream. I'm calling it a tea party, so that you can actually see what's going on in the space and kind of get some behind the scenes stuff. And like, if I'm traveling, like right now I'm packing my bag to go to Edinburgh Fringe in Scotland tomorrow. I'll probably do this month's tea party from Scotland, from the Fringe. So it allows for more people who are not performers or musicians or makers, but who are patrons, who want to be part of the community and be part of the space, to be part of it in a way that includes them and brings them into the fold. And we can have some cross-bleed between everybody.
So you're running an Indiegogo campaign that's got, you say, 3 days left.
3 days.
What I'm getting from you is that regardless of the results of the Indiegogo campaign, it sounds like you're going forward. Is that right?
Not true.
No, not true. Okay. So the importance of the Indiegogo campaign comes through.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's not just the campaign. It's also the collaborators. So if we get, it's an and/or situation. So we would love more money from the campaign to help us launch, because that will pay, it'll subsidize the rent on the first year while it becomes self-sustaining, but it'll also allow us to buy a lighting system, a sound system, buy building materials to make the stage platforms. So that's useful and necessary. The other thing is that we want more collaborators. We want more people to buy into the monthly subscription.
Right, of course.
Of use, because the more people we have doing that, the less we need the Indiegogo funds to subsidize the rent until we get more. So I think it's an and/or situation, and I would love to get to a certain threshold in the Indiegogo campaign in the next 3 days.
So are you asking other theaters in the area
to help with this, using your space as an extra rehearsal space for things they have going on?
I have reached out to other organizations, to other theatrical organizations, also to schools, and to specifically theater programs inside. Sorry?
No. Go ahead. You're good.
Okay. So, interference. So I have reached out to those institutions and organizations, and I've had some great response, but we're still it's still shaking out as they get ready for the school year.
Of course. Can I say that you've tapped into something that we feel even here. In fact, a lot of people who, and I think here in Charlottesville, it sounds like a similar situation as to what you described over there, which is you've got established people with established spaces, and they're working in their own spaces and they're doing things in their own spaces. But for the people who do not have established spaces, for the people who want to do, who say, are not a continual group. They want to do a one-off, or they are a little bit more variable in terms of their creative expressions. They don't have the space, one, either to present, and two, most importantly, to rehearse. And in fact, we just had a very interesting interview with a local artistic journalist about the lack of spaces available.
Right, and trying to keep those spaces available, the ones that are here, keep them available for people.
And here you are. This is a really interesting attempt to do something about that. You, Ms. Clavin, I believe that I will go so far as to call you an instigator. You are a creative instigator.
I think she likes that title, Clinton.
I feel warm and fuzzy inside. You call me an instigator. I think that's true. And we, on the other side of the mountain and up in New Harrisonburg, suffer from that as well. And part of that is because of the, people don't do shows if there's no stage, and there's no stage if people don't do shows. This is this weird circular logic. But the other thing is that real estate is out of control. And so we find ourselves unable, and that's why we have to do it as a group, unable for any singular person to bear the brunt of the cost of running a building, of running a space. And so I have attempted to identify the smallest version of what an art co-op could be in this area. And I've, the landlady of the space has been excessively supportive, and like the rent is like really dropped to what, it's what it's worth, but it's also like not retail. So like she's helping out how she can, and people in town are helping out how they can. But we just have to come together to make sure that it works. But I think the other thing that we're tapping here is that we want to continue to gather in peace, and we want to continue to work in peace as collaborators. And we keep looking at this world, which is slipping into chaotic craziness. Just like we don't know what to do. And like when places like theaters are no longer safe and movie theaters are no longer safe, like that gets at me in a way that says like, I'm going to flip a table. I'm going to light it on fire. This, what we're going to do is we're going to make these spaces. You know, we can't rely on them to be provided to us anymore. Like, we want to see something safe. If we want to see something good, if we want to see something challenging that'll make our community better and make us better, then we better take responsibility and do that ourselves.
So my question is, how did you start the conversation with the either owner or realtor of this space to reduce the rent so that it's doable? Like, are they an artistic person? Is that how, that conversation happened? Or was it you convincing them?
I think part of it is that we did Fringe in her space, and so she knew that it was successful, and she is already a patron of the art.
So you had started building a relationship.
Oh, yeah, we already had a relationship, and she already saw how many people came into her business because Fringe was there, and the art that came out of it, and the happiness that came out of it.
But also, I went in because I was making a lot of phone calls and getting a lot of, well, honey, you're going to have to make at least this much money. You're going to have this and that. And I'm me wanting to wither them away with my gaze. These old, like old white men telling me how to run my theater. And I'm like, I don't, like, you so clearly don't get it. It's not that it needs to be inefficient. It's just that there's this, like, old way, old economy way of thinking about, like, it has to scale immediately. It has to make thousands and thousands of dollars immediately to make it worth it. And I was like, I think at the beginning, to make it worth it, it just needs to pay for itself.
Were they suit-splaining to you?
There was a lot of mansplaining. So I went in to her business, the Stanton Antiques Mall. It's Ellen Bowden. Hi, Ellen, if you're listening. And I was like, Ellen, I'm having trouble. I'm really frustrated. Do you know any places? And she just looked at me and she goes, well, why don't you do it here? I was like, can I? And she goes, yeah, let's go upstairs and look at it. And so that was it. We just started chatting about it, and we both laid everything out on the table very honestly about needs. And that part, a pre-existing relationship really helped, but I think a person who understands the concept and is supportive of the arts and supportive of community building is the magic in the soup.
So from the conversations that we've had with you before about Spectacle and Mirth in the past, and about certainly about the Shenandoah Fringe Festival, I'm seeing a pattern of an attention on your part, or at least an affinity on your part, for collaboration, for communitarianism. Am I seeing that? Is that a conscious thing for you, something that you'll admit to and something you want to speak to?
Is communitarianism a word?
I'm going to throw it out there. It's in my sort of vocabularic bacchanal that I am.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Yes, I would say yes. I also, something that I think that gets lost a lot in my, as I'm like, come to the cabaret, come to the French Festival, is that we live in an extremely diverse area, and I, as a white woman, only ever really see white people, and that really bothers me, knowing that we have these extremely diverse populations of refugees, of Latinos, of black people that live with us, and we don't see each other. So what I would like these projects to be useful in, other than creating challenging, beautiful art, is to physically bringing the communities a little bit more together in sharing their art, in sharing their theater, in sharing what they love. So that is my ultimate goal, really, to not only to create the work, but to create something that's truly representative, not for the sake of diversity, but for the sake of reality.
Right. And definitely, Carmel, I will be talking to you because I got some stuff brewing that I think we
Yay!
Could definitely collaborate on.
Isn't brewing the best word?
It is.
Like, it's the kettle.
Yes.
Something's brewing at the kettle. It's like that great, you know, you put in a couple of ingredients and what you come and it fuses together and transforms, and then what comes out is delicious. So that's what we're looking for.
Thank you so much, Carmel, for talking to us and being willing to talk to us on speakerphone through the radio.
Oh my God, thank you. I so appreciate your flexibility, and it is such a treat to talk with you guys, even from afar.
Tell them once again the email, or not the, I'm sorry, the URL for the Indiegogo campaign.
Well, you can find all of the information at www.the-kettle.co or www.spectacleandmirth.com. And, of course, on Facebook.
Tom O'Clevin, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Have a good day, dear.
Bye.
50 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned afterwards for your ultimately favorite show, second, of course, to ours, the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. He's talking with Dr. Pam Moran from the Albemarle County Public Schools. Who knows what type of stuff they'll be dealing with? Probably my permanent record. Will that record ever go away?
It will never go away.
Will it ever go away?
No.
Well, I'm going to go away right now so that you can be treated to the part of the show you've all been waiting for, Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Why, thank you so much, Clinton. So, I've stayed away from politics in my rants so far. I've stayed away from it because, as artists, we often believe that those things aren't our business. Right? We spend our days engrossed in creation and have no time or energy left over for such craven and depraved things as politics. So I have stayed away as well. But I want to make it clear that it's not that we don't care. It's not that we don't have opinions. It's not that we don't talk about it amongst ourselves, because we do a lot. We talk about how who is in that highest office of our land can affect our lives. We talk about how what they believe will influence our ability to continue to make and sustain ourselves with our art. Because it's hard enough already, and someone coming along making it harder or even impossible concerns us. It also concerns us as citizens, as parents, as human beings. So I thought I'd give my two cents. No matter who you vote for, it has to be a thoughtful decision. It should be someone who has not only a vision, but a plan. It has to be someone who is level-headed and patient. It has to be someone who thinks 7 to 15 steps ahead when looking at a situation. And they have to look at it from several different angles, from different perspectives. Governing is choosing. It's making choices every day that will affect hundreds of thousands of people. It's not a vanity exercise. It shouldn't be about the person in the chair at all, because the decisions made in that chair are so much bigger than the person sitting there. Having said that, I only want to point out one thing amidst all the Republican leaders' announcements this week that they will vote for Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump. A very interesting article in the New York Times, a former CIA director gave an interview. In the article, he basically said that when an American is recruited to spy for another country, one of the ways they do it is to make friends. They get them to regard them as no threat. They work from there. It's called a soft recruitment. And he believes that is exactly what Putin has done with Donald Trump. He stroked his ego, and now Donald regards him as a buddy. Whether Donald is savvy enough to use the relationship to our advantage isn't my concern. I already know he's not. My concern is that we are perilously close to electing a man who has the worst case of lack of impulse control I've ever seen. He can't keep his mouth shut about anything. We are perilously close to electing a man who is about as perspicacious as a lemon. No matter what you think about the presidency, the person in that chair will wield a huge amount of power. So, how does this relate to art, to artists? Well, I ask you to read your history, and you don't have to go back very far. What happened to slaves who wanted to learn to read and write? What happened to artists when McCarthy started asking questions? What normally happens when one group decides they need to control what goes on in the hearts, minds, classrooms, and yes, even bedrooms of other groups? It's the same thing every time. Oppression and darkness, which usually includes the attempted extermination of that group. Artistic people have always been a target. We are the other that the rest of the world looks at with misunderstanding. So we have to be vigilant about making sure people in power are willing to try to understand us without censorship or restriction, without discrimination. So think hard. Choose wisely. The choice we make as a people in November could literally mean our ultimate success or failure as a people. And that's the weekly rant.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
oppression and darkness.
Yeah.
Artistic people being thrown aside, rounded up, really. That's where you ended up in that long meandering.
It's happened before. It has happened before in this country. Ask some Japanese Americans what they thought about internment camps during World War II.
Here's the thing.
You think that just because somebody is an artist that says that they wouldn't be locked up for it? I mean, come on.
Thing. This country cares so little about artists. So little about artists.
Right.
I would be surprised if they even knew that we still existed, much less took the time, the care, or effort to think about, quote unquote, rounding us up.
Then what was McCarthy trying to do? What was McCarthy trying to do? He was asking people questions, labeling them communists, and then basically blacklisting them and ruining their entire careers.
He was talking to Hollywood.
Right.
He was talking to Hollywood.
Where do you think it's going to start? Of course it's going to start with Hollywood because that's where the money is. You don't think it's going to trickle down? Come on.
I don't think that they would even care about anything other than Hollywood, because
and
they were looking for a billboard.
And that's why...
If a modern-day McCarthy decided to pull people from the McGuffey Art Center up and turned into congressional programs, that would be the biggest snooze fest ever. The entire American populace would say, really? You're wasting time on that? I think there's a Simpsons rerun that I should be watching now.
And the entire American populace has never been able, by not paying attention to something, hasn't been able to stop government from doing even more horrible things than that.
So the fact that you think it could never happen
is my point.
This level of overriding paranoia and self-importance together in one big snowball.
So you don't think artists should value themselves as important? You don't think we should stand up and have our voices heard? I'm not putting anybody on a pedestal. I'm saying we all need to fight for what...
Yeah, I'm waiting for there to be a congressional committee to come down and ask me whether or not I am now or I've ever been a Muslim. That's really going to work.
And you think that won't happen?
Like the three plays that maybe I put out.
I'm wondering why you think that hasn't happened already.
I'm going to go over right now. I'm going to try to just make a wall around my house. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, he's going to build a wall, people.
There's a mosque over here.
You know, I've missed that. I've missed that little sound. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done a rant. I've missed Clinton yelling at me and running out. I'm home. Okay. We want to thank our guest, Samantha Gray from McGuffey Incubator Studios, and Carmel Clavin from Spectacle and Mirth talking about The Kettle. Stay tuned. It's the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with Rick Moore. And it has been a pleasure as always. Thank you so much. You guys have a great week, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.